Second reading comes from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus said. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for your word. And as we think about journeying together, we pray that you will open our hearts and minds so that we may know what you're saying to each one of us here this morning. Father, we thank you that you care for each one of us, and we pray that we may learn to pass that care on to others. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So when you came in this morning, I think you've all been given a sheet about journeying together. And I think you've all been given a pen, have you? Yes, right, very good. This series is going on for 6 weeks altogether. We've got three weeks in September. And then it's harvest, and then we've got 3 weeks in October. And it's all about journeying together, getting to know one another, becoming close together as the body of Christ, so that we are able then to reach out to others, so that others will want to come in and be a member of the body of Christ. So it's going to be slightly different in that we're going to try and have some congregational input in various ways. In Chilton, it worked, it was okay, and we had some very interesting comments back. But I want you first of all, please, to just talk to your neighbour, or write down thoughts if you don't want to talk, just very briefly, on what you were thinking as that parable of the Good Samaritan was read. What were you thinking? Were you thinking, "I just have forgotten to put my dinner on," or were you thinking... were you thinking something else, or were you thinking, "Why, that's a strange story"? When I asked back for comments at Chilton, one person said, "Golly, all I could think about was the robbers, because when my little boy read it, he wanted to know how the robbers affected the man." So that was all sorts of different things. So if you'd like to do that now, please just talk or write about what that parable said to you this morning, or what were you thinking about as it was said. Well done. Has anybody got any comments, any sort of things that would illuminate illuminate my sermon or thinking on it? Is anybody actually prepared to say anything? What they would think? Oh. Oh, it's just in there. We better walk alongside us.
I'm always pleased there's some good in the world. I always think at least there's always somebody good around when there's bad as well.
Brilliant. So something good in the world when there's bad around, but just to know that there's something good around. Yes, thank you very much indeed. That's great. Fantastic. Anybody else got any? Yes?
I was thinking about when my father died, somebody very close geographically to me crossed the road rather than speak to me, and the same happened when my mother died. So this person obviously can't cope with something that might be harrowing. Mm. And I was just thinking that actually probably in all fields of life we are braver than we think we are, and we should just try and get near to people.
Okay.
Thank you, Liz, very much. Yep. Anybody else got any wise comments or thoughts? Okay. Well, do share them afterwards if you have, won't you? Because it can be quite interesting sometimes learning about these things from different people. But the beginning of the chapter we had on Luke, we read of Jesus sending out the 72 disciples. And afterwards they had sent out, they returned with great joy. They saw many things that prophets, kings wanted to see, and they had not heard and did not know. Ordinary, everyday people, the disciples were, who went out under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and were used by God in the spreading of his word. The learned lawyer we hear about at the beginning of our reading may or may not have seen some of the wonders that the disciples performed. But whatever his experience, it seems that he wanted to push Jesus as far as he could, because surely he must have known the answers to the question he asked. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? If a lawyer didn't know that, he shouldn't have been one. Jesus asked him what is written in the law, and he gives a pat answer, the expected answer. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy strength and with all thy might, and thy neighbour as thyself. The lawyer persists. Who is my neighbour? He asks. Jesus then tells the well-known story of the Good Samaritan. Love your neighbour as yourself. The priest and the Levite could see the man lying on the ground, but neither of them knew if he was dead or not. If he was dead and they touched him, they would be unclean for the next week. And as temple officials, they would be unable to perform their duties in the temple. So they concluded it was more important to maintain their purity than obey God's command. They were indifferent, they were detached, and they walked by on the other side. They showed no compassion. They didn't care. They apparently did not even stop to think what it meant to love your neighbour as yourself, to care for him. They worried about their safety, their reputation, or perhaps they didn't have time because they had other things to do. They were full of their own importance. They probably thought that they were good, practical people, that they did all the right things, kept the laws. But when it came to practical consequences, they found it impossible to respond. The priest and Levite, who no doubt wanted to inherit eternal life, were unable to love and care for a needy person. They certainly put themselves first. Or maybe they hadn't grasped what it meant to love themselves. To most of us, the phrase, to love someone as we love ourselves, is a phrase that jars. Many of us have been taught largely to play down self, to submerge feelings and desires, to be servants. We are taught that we are sinful, that we fall short of the glory of God. And as Paul puts it, the things that I don't want to do, I do, and those things that I don't want to do, I don't. But we are commanded to love our neighbours as we love ourselves. If we do not love ourselves with all our faults and failings, how can we love others? If we forget that God loves us just as we are, we will find it difficult to accept others and to love them with the same concern and care that we have for ourselves. When we see pictures of starving people, ill-treated people, when we walk the streets of Oxford, Abingdon, Didcot, what do we feel as we walk by people, near people? We'll just watch this video, and I hope.
Asking people if I could use their mobile phone. First dressed as a clergyman, I'm a Baptist minister, and then later on this afternoon I'll be dressed differently to see whether people respond differently to me or the same. I'm waiting for a friend here and they haven't turned up.
Right.
I'm wondering whether you might have a phone on you. I've left mine behind.
Yeah.
And if I could just ring him, that would be very, very helpful. That's very, very kind of you. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. No, that's okay.
I don't want to lose this one.
Thank you very much. It's really, really kind of you.
No worries.
As soon as somebody put my makeup on and I walked into the bathroom and I looked in the mirror, I felt bad about myself. I have a sense of a lack of self-worth when I go out on the street. Excuse me, sir. I wonder whether I could give you £1, because I'm waiting for a friend. I was wondering whether I could just use your mobile phone to make a call. I'm waiting for a friend. Is it possible I could just use your phone? I wonder whether I could give you £1. Excuse me, madam. I wonder whether you could help me. I'm waiting for a friend.
Sorry, but there's a phone box around here, isn't there? The phone box is still there, buddy.
Okay, thank you.
Just out there and I'll put it out.
Thank you.
What makes you think I've got a phone?
No, I'm just asking if you have.
No, I don't.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm waiting for a friend.
Just get to it, bro. What do you want?
Whether I could use your mobile phone or not. And I could pay you some money.
No, you can use it. Give me the number. Hey there. So if it rings, I'll give it to you.
Okay.
Who's this then?
Sam. How
God
come
bless
you trusted
you.
Me?
Because, well, I'll just keep it real. Everybody deserves a chance, don't they?
If it's money, no.
No, I'm not asking for money. Asking for money.
Well, there'll be a phone box around somewhere.
I've tried the phone box and it's not working.
I said no.
Excuse me, sir, I wonder whether you could help me. I'm waiting for a friend. I wonder whether they give me a pound.
Sorry,
I could pay you.
No, I know, but I haven't really got credit on my phone.
Could we text?
Possibly. What's the number?
Let me give you that pound first. No, go on, take
it. No.
Thank you very much. That was really good of you to trust me with your phone.
It's okay. It's only a phone.
Yeah, but the way I look.
It doesn't matter. What if somebody looks, it doesn't matter.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
I hope you got the trend of that film. With the bit of paper you've got and the pencil, I would just like you just to think about what your thoughts were when you saw that film, how you felt as you actually watched it. Can you remember when you've been in a similar situation? Just have your bit of paper and just write down what you can think. You can talk to somebody if you like, there's no problem, but primarily just to think about what that meant to you, that video. It was quite a difficult film, and in Chiltern, Michael unfortunately has gone, because I thought he might come up again. But in Chiltern, Michael interrupted my sermon and told me what he had felt like some years ago, told the whole congregation what he had been through in a particular incident, and it was very, very moving, and it was very, very quiet. And he shared he wasn't talking, he was just sitting in the side pew, and it really spoke to many members of the congregation, that he just came out with it in Michael fashion, which was really great, and we prayed for him. So it's terribly important to really think what that video can mean to us. Are we like the priest and the Levite, worried about our safety, our reputation? Do we not have time because we've got other things to do? Often, if we stop to help or walk with somebody, it does cost time and money. So it's in our parable that the Samaritan was the one who showed compassion and looked after the dead man. He was not concerned for his own safety or his reputation, but was aware of the need of someone else. He gave willingly of his time and money. A Samaritan who, in the culture of the day, should have hated a Jew, been nowhere near him. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "The first question the priest and the Levite asked was, if I stopped to help this man, what will happen to me?" But the Good Samaritan reversed the questions. "If I do not help this man, what will happen to him?" He came alongside the Samaritan and put the man on his own donkey, and they journeyed to a place where the Samaritan knew the man would be safe and cared for. He promised to repay the cost and did not just leave the injured man on his own. Jesus says to the lawyer, and he says to us, go and do thou likewise. So every time that we hear these words, let's question ourselves about how much I love myself, and therefore how much do I love my neighbour. Caring for one another should be a visible sign of our Christian faith. And we are hoping in this series that there will be testimonies about what people have experienced in their life. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about my own life as two examples. Some of you will remember in 2004, when Chris was here as a rector, and he was on sabbatical. I'd been ordained, well, priesthood just over a year. Chris was on sabbatical, and Pam wasn't around in those times. Well, she was around, but not ordained. And Joan was here, but because of my position, I was helping quite a lot in the church. And just after he'd gone, I think about 2 days after he'd gone, I suffered from something called benign postural vertigo, which meant that I was sick when I lay in bed and I couldn't walk, and it was awful. It was an infection of the ear. And it was terrible. And I had 3 weeks off work. And when I returned, I was far from well. But I returned because it was Songs of Praise and the Stone Service, the 60th anniversary of D-Day. And it was through the support of members of this congregation, and you'll know who you are, who helped me through that. Because it was at the Stone Service, we had 1,000 people. And I can remember walking up between the flag bearers, and they said, "Cool, we've got a woman." So they're used to having Pam now, so it's good. But and it was God's power. He reached out to those present, and all I can say is that I survived that day and the following weeks and months because members of this congregation and children's congregation came alongside me and supported me through what was a very difficult time. So thank you to all those. So there are many instances in my life that I know that God has been at work through the support and prayer of others. And it tells us in Scripture, in 2 Corinthians, what is true of the Messiah becomes true of his people. In verse 5 we read, "For just as the suffering of Christ flow over into our lives, sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." So as we suffer, as we go through difficult times, let us not groan about what we're going through, but let us grow through it, and then we can use our experiences to help others. In this way, we shall live as a renewed community of God, looking out for the needs of others and actively offering support and comfort to those with whom we are brought in contact, those we're walking alongside, if we're praying for the Lord to do that. And my memory of this is my mother developed Alzheimer's disease, and she died about 20 years ago. And we were quite well known in Abingdon. Well, I wasn't well known, my parents were. Dad was on the Abingdon Council, and he was a county councillor, and he was involved in scouts, and my mother was involved in guides, Townsmen's Guild. There was quite a lot going on, so we knew a lot of people in Abingdon. And in those days, there weren't quite as many as there are now. There were probably about 15,000-16,000 people, maybe, quite a bit smaller. And I trained as a nurse originally, and I knew that she wasn't at all well. But my brother and my father thought I was, had no idea. And a bit like Liz was just saying, used to walk through the streets of Abingdon, and some of these people who were quite responsible people used to come up to me and say, "Jean, why aren't you visiting your mother? You never see her. She needs your help. Why don't you go?" And I had to face that for about 5 years, because when she saw other people, she appeared to be perfectly normal and chatted to them, and all the rest of it, and said, "Oh, I never see Jean, she's not around anymore." And so I had to cope with the
people ignoring what was going on, ignoring what was happening to my mother. That took about 15 years all in all, from when the first symptoms appeared to when she died in 1998. At her funeral, hardly anybody came, because I think probably she was in a nursing home and they'd forgotten she was around, which was quite sad. And after the funeral, it was very strange, because these same people who had told me off for not going to see Mum used to cross the road so they wouldn't have to face me again. So it was a sort of, double whammy. But that is something, that I know what it's like for it to happen to my mother. Therefore, one can empathize with people who are going through similar issues. But the priest and Levite were so wrapped up in their own concerns that they don't recognize the injured man as a neighbor or a brother. They see him as a victim or problem, not somebody for them. So if in the end we care more about ourselves and what happens to us rather than about the person in need, then we shall not recognize our neighbor and love them as we love ourselves. The Samaritan was an ordinary person going about his daily business. But when he saw the needs of the injured man, he stopped and came alongside. This story shows us that every fellow human being is our neighbour, no matter what background they come from. Jesus was marked by his compassion for people. If we have compassion, we can come alongside others and walk with them on their journey and support them in whatever way necessary. The Greek word for comfort can be translated in the following way: to call someone to come near, to make a strong appeal or exhortation, to treat in an inviting or friendly way. That brings to mind a picture of asking someone to come and be with me, to be alongside, to know that they are walking with me on that particular stage of my journey. There might be silences, but there would also be words that might help to change my mood or situation. Words that might give encouragement or the courage to go in a new direction. The words could be prophetic, giving us a new vision of what might be. We receive comfort because someone meets us where we are, bringing new hope and new possibilities. The comforter will acknowledge that a given situation is happening. To comfort can mean to strengthen. We call the Holy Spirit the Comforter, but it can also mean the Strengthener. So God comforts us in all our troubles. Paul says that because God comforts us, we can then comfort others with the comfort that God has given to us. Paul did not see us as living isolated lives. We are members of the body of Christ. We belong to each other. We have a responsibility to be alongside one another, not in a sentimental, emotional way, but in a realistic, practical way. It is clear from what Paul says that the comfort we have received from God, we are able to pass to others. God uses us to comfort those with whom we come in contact. So again, from 2 Corinthians 1, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from Christ. Amen.
Amen.